How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. I've got my new pelargonium by the desk and it's keeping me very calm.
What's a pelargonium when it's at home?
It's like a sort of geranium-y sort of leaf, sort of, but it's different and the flowers are smaller. But what I like about it is a hazelnut-scented pelargonium, and I bought it last week at the garden centre when I was there on my birthday.
Hazelnut-scented? How does that happen?
It's remarkable. I don't know. You get sort of lemony ones, you get sort of different ones, you get this... I was given one, which sort of got a furry leaf. Ooh. And it's very nice to touch, and it's got a lemony way with it. But this one is a hazelnut one, and I like it.
That is very nice. How was your birthday, dear?
You know what? It was absolutely lovely, thank you. We had some croissants in the garden.
Yes, then, please.
Yes, please. And then we went to the garden centre, and then... we went to the antique shop. I bought a walking cane to put in my umbrella stand. And then we went, classic birthday for me, really. But then we went to the old, went to the pub for a bit of lunch. And then I went and did my gig. It was perfect.
Talk me through the walking cane.
The walking cane, well, I bought an umbrella stand, sort of a tall pot, you know.
Yes, love it.
And I very much enjoyed having that. But of course, you have to have things to fill it with, don't you?
So right.
I had to get a walking cane, and mm-hmm. I did. And I've got an umbrella in there, which I like, which I treated myself to from J. Smith & Sons. If you're a Londoner or you've been to London, it's an umbrella shop in Covent Garden.
Is that the one that's on... Is it like on the way to the Strand? It's the big one that's on the corner?
It's North Covent Garden, sort of near...
Sort of by the
High
British
Holborn.
Museum?
Yes, very near the British Museum, yeah.
Okay, I'm always fascinated by that place. How do they turn a profit?
I don't know, actually. I didn't look at their balance sheet. I should have done, shouldn't I? But I didn't.
You know what I think when I go past that? It's a front.
It's a front. Interesting. It's a cold weather front. That's what it is.
Exactly what it is, yeah.
A wet weather front.
I suppose London is a good place to sell an umbrella, but aren't they like quite stripey?
They are a little bit expensive, but bearing in mind I had wanted one since I was a teenager.
I'm not asking you to divulge how much you spend on an umbrella. I wouldn't do such a thing on a podcast.
£75,000, okay? I think that's
good. Oh, reasonable, actually.
Very reasonable when it's raining.
But could you pop in there and get an umbrella sort of just because it had started raining? Or do you think you need to be in a mood where you're going... This is a special umbrella.
I think it's an investment umbrella. I think it's an investment. I don't know if they do like a quick, you know, foldable umbrella.
Are they doing a £5.99 one? So you can nip it.
I think you want like London's Greatest Souvenirs or one of those shops for that sort of thing.
You think you could get one for £5.99 in London's Greatest Souvenirs?
Well, one of those.
Surely
shops
London's Greatest Souvenirs are like the Queen's, like the jewels or something.
Oh, that would be... Oh, and guess what I bought the other day, Suze?
Oh my God, was it a crown?
Almost. I was walking past the Tower of London and I went into the gift shop and I bought myself a tea strainer. It is lovely.
You don't drink tea?
No, but it's for guests.
So now you're a loose tea prick?
Well, I don't want to be, but people keep giving it to me.
People keep giving you loose tea? You don't even drink tea. See, this is because you've got... people that don't know you as friends now.
I've changed. Also,
I
got given, a selection of like chamomile infusions. No, actually, do you know what it is? I stole them from a hotel that had...
Oh, see, now we get the truth. Now we get the truth. Yeah. That's not a gift.
Is it not?
People don't leave out. That's not gifts. That's while you're here, have a chamomile tea if you like.
Because we've got the equipment for you to use leaf tea, leaf, like loose chamomile flowers. Yeah, that's right. And then when I got home, I was like, I don't have the equipment for this. This is terrible.
Equipment.
My guests were furious. It was awful.
Did you buy a tiny teaspoon to go with it?
No, I didn't actually. I've got quite a lot of teaspoons. It comes with a little tray though. So when you take it, it's got like a little, it's like a little crown teapot. It's like a little teapot with holes in it.
Yes.
And you put the tea leaves in, and it's got like a little chain on it, so you can dangle.
Oh, one of the chain ones.
And then you draw it up, and then you put it on a little plate.
Tea for people that like BDSM.
Yeah, it is a bit like that. Yeah, yeah. Very BDSM for tea, yeah. Yeah.
This is a bit of a handbrake turn, but did your nan have some of those teaspoons that had like quite elaborate bits at the top?
Yes, we did
like
have a few of those.
Or something.
Yes, we did have a few of those. They're quite the collector's item, I believe.
Yeah, the sort of thing to commemorate something.
Yes, absolutely. Or maybe a trip to, you know, one of the Cinque ports or...
Or Guernsey.
Or Guernsey. Yeah, Guernsey, I seem to remember we had one. Lovely, lovely spoon.
I wonder if they're still... Is that still a thing?
People somebody
collecting
will be
those sorts of things.
If there's a thing, somebody will be into it, you know?
What about a commemorative plate? How do you feel about that?
Well, I've never bought one, but I've often been tempted because they're often available, often advertised in the television magazines, aren't they?
Yes.
Full page ad. But I don't
with
know.
With those babies that are like fake, those dollies that look really
those
real.
Terrifying dolls, yes.
They're so terrifying.
Oh my goodness. I always feel slightly harrowed by all of that.
I feel like if you had one of those, you would sometimes hear it crying at night.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd go in to look at it and it would be a doll.
It would tell you to do things.
And you'd go out and it would cry again.
Yeah. It would be all of that.
And then you'd kill and you'd have to blame the doll. And
the doll told me to do it.
Very Annabelle. Have you seen that film?
No, but that's my mum's neighbour.
Oh, it's about her.
Is it?
But also, she's a doll that sort of... takes over people's brains and they kill.
Oh, I don't think Annabelle would do that. Oh, no.
Oh, I don't know if Annabelle would, but...
It's
terrifying. You wouldn't like it.
Okay.
And it's based on a true story, apparently, and now that doll has to be kept in, like, a glass cage.
Always the stories. We were warned not to watch The Exorcist when I was at school because terrible things happen to people who watch it. And I watched The Exorcist...
Who were you told that by? Like, a teacher?
A teacher.
No.
Yeah, she was like, don't.
Surely she was just thinking, I don't want to frighten poor sweet Tom.
Well, she told it to the whole class and she was just like, just be careful. You know, a lot of people get into these sorts of things and they can, like the occult, that sort of thing. And it can sometimes mess with their minds a little bit and just be careful.
Mm.
Which probably was good advice. But when I watched The Exorcist, I laughed at it. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I think at the time when it came out, I think like special effects weren't quite what they are now.
Oh, yeah.
So it probably seemed really shocking for a girl's head to spin round.
Yeah, probably, didn't it? Yeah. Yeah, probably.
But I do find horror films very scary. As the listeners know, I'm frightened of all things.
All things, bright and beautiful. Did you watch Stranger Things?
I watched the first series and I thought it was great.
But you haven't
Do you like it?
Well, I saw a bit of it the other day. I thought
because Alf was watching it.
Alf does watch it actually sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, I bet he'd like it.
I think that's true. But the I don't mind a horror film. I think most of the time they're ridiculous. The American ones especially, they all get caught up in this sort of like religiosity about it. They all get, there's always like a priest and there's like a curse from the devil and there's like a biblical antidote and it's all like, they're very fixated on like, do you know what I mean? Like there's always like some sort of religious... underpinning of it all, and I'm a bit like, oh, stop being so dramatic. Just because you like the big words, they like to get the big biblical words out, I think, and they, you know.
What's your favourite big biblical word?
Oh, that's a good one. Begotten is a good word, isn't it, that we don't often use?
And didn't lots of people begat each other at some point?
Yes, begat. Yes, they did begat.
People were begatting, weren't they?
That's quite Old Testament, isn't it? Yeah, begat.
I think that sounds like a dance move. The begat.
The begat.
Begat. Begat. Begat.
It sounds like you're making a sandwich.
A sandwich for a lot of people. Begat, begat, begat.
Yeah. Begat. Who wants a begat? Begat, begat.
Maybe that's what it was in the Bible. And it was like, oh, you know.
Evolved. Yeah.
Abel, begat.
this person, and this person begat Judas.
And actually they were just buying a French stick.
Passing a French stick. Because Jesus was well known for doing all those loaves, wasn't he?
He did like a loaf. Who knew they were a sourdough baguette? I've embellished. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, but I always think with a lot of horror films, like The Exorcist, it was like, and then the priest comes and the priest does all this like magic spell as though he's been trained in it, especially.
Yeah.
And they're like,
and then like something like the crucifix will get very hot and burn in his hands.
Oh, yeah, all of that. Like that it's all very like religious symbolism and stuff. It's very rooted in a sort of, I don't know.
Have you seen The Omen?
No, I haven't actually. That's where he gets his head chopped off, isn't it? With the glass.
Yes, that one I think is really good. And it's also got those dogs in that you love.
Rottweilers. Oh, Doberman. Oh, yes.
No, Rottweiler. Yeah, and I think it's the devil. The dog might be the devil. Or certainly he has some sort of personal link to the devil.
Oh, no.
He's got him on speed dial.
Oh.
But, you know, if you were driving from yours to my mum's, that eventually you'd get on the A3.
Oh, that scary, spooky road going through the woods.
No, before you get to that, you go past, when you're going sort of just before you get through to Guildford, or maybe just after Guildford.
Not the usual setting for anything frightening.
Listen.
Yes.
That, if you look up to your left, you will see the church that it was shot in. And it's quite frightening, actually. And they uplight it. And so when you're driving at night, you can see it. And you're like, oh, that's that church from The Omen.
Wow. Is it set in the UK then, The Omen?
Yeah.
Well, that's funny.
It's a British one.
Because I was going to say, like, a lot of the time, the American ones, they've got that sort of dramatic kind of way about them. And they've got all that sort of, like, it's usually like a Catholic priest who comes along.
The Catholic
police. Catholic police comes along. The Catholic priest comes along and it's all very dramatic. Whereas I think if it was the Church of England, it would be a bit more sort of mild-mannered.
You know, do you think it'll be like, we're doing a raffle to raise money to get rid of the occult?
Look, there's a little girl who's been possessed by the devil. We're going to have a jumble sale on Saturday.
How could you bring anything?
If you could pop in an extra 10p at the coffee morning, that would be so great.
That would mean the world.
The power of Christ compels you, and also with you.
And also with you. Back to commemorative plates, briefly.
Yes.
Do you think if I bought you one that was sort of a commemorative plate of Charles and Diana,
A lovely one,
do you think you'd display it in your house?
I would covet it. Yes, I would covet that. Another good biblical word, covet.
Isn't coveting when you have sex with something?
No, isn't it when you're like jealous of something? Oh gosh, it's in the commandments, isn't it? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or thy neighbor's oxen, both grouped together, I believe, in certain versions.
That meant sex, but does it mean not be jealous of? Are you worried about
not
being jealous of an ox?
Sex with the oxen, but I thought it was
you're
jealous
probably
of.
Right.
No,
linguistically, you are far more advanced.
No, I'm not actually. I'm not.
You're in the upper six, and I'm still in year nine.
But year nine is a very important year because you do your sats. Covet meaning.
Listen, I haven't stopped doing my sats in.
Yearn to possess.
Nigh on 20 years to possess.
Yeah.
The urge to possess
something, especially something belonging to another. The example is, I covet one of their smart bags. I don't know
what
a smart bag
when it's at home?
I don't know. But they covet it. There you go.
Well, that's the thing. We must be careful.
You've got to be careful.
Do you have anything else to share with us, Tom, about your week? What have you been up to, Lars?
Well, what else can I tell you? I can tell you that I've repotted some of my bushes. Mum actually did it, really, and Alf helped her.
That was good.
And I just sort of watched. But the repotting of the plants has made me so much more content. I was very anxious for a time there.
But the garden is something to be marvelled at.
Do you think, Suze?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Oh, I love the garden. I'm going around when... I've still got your spare key.
Oh, yeah, you can come
I brought it around
it.
The other night and forgot to give it to you. So now got it.
You have it, don't worry.
But I'm going round when you're not there as often as possible.
Oh, please
do. To sit in your garden.
Please do. I'd love it if you did. I'd love that. I've got to, I've got to thin out my carrots, I think. They're not doing as well as I'd hope. Yeah, it's very strange.
I mean, there was so little when you pulled them out. It was hilarious.
I know, after all that
I would
bush.
Say less than an inch.
I know. What a world. But, Well, they're getting there, you know, and the garden peas are starting to have pods on them, so I'm very excited about that.
Oh, it's a very exciting time. Maybe you should grow wine.
Oh, do you think I should have a vine? Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
But I think you need a lot of grapes for a bottle of wine.
You need a lot of grapes, and also it's... I mean, I'm learning from doing the Wine Times podcast.
Oh, yes, I was going to say.
It is. It's a perilous...
And lots of turning a bottle. Is there lots of turning the bottles?
Turning the bottles, that happens with champagne.
Oh!
It moves the yeast.
Oh, dear.
I know. It all sounds a bit gross. There's like a lot of fermentation that goes on.
We forget that.
That's not a very sexy part of wine.
Well, I still
think there are champagne houses in France that still have people that go and do it by hand.
A hand
turner. A lot of it is done by machinery now.
Oh.
You just do a little half turn so that it's constantly moving.
What does it's William, isn't it, who you do it with?
It's Will, yeah, Will Lyons, yeah.
Will I am, did you just say?
It's Will I am Lyons, yeah.
Will I am Lyons. And what does he think about sulfates? Does he have any opinions on that? Because I think wine people get very opinionated about sulfates.
I imagine he does, but I'm not sure what they are. And I wouldn't commit it to podcast, because as you know, this is the... This is the medium that I respect most.
This is the medium that you are dominating.
Listen, if there's a podcast, she'll do it. I'm starting to worry that it's saying a lot about my face. Because I'm on audio a lot more than I'm on visuals at the moment. And I would say,
don't do that.
What is this saying? I also don't think I've got a particularly interesting voice, but maybe I do. Who knows?
Mm. Mm.
Who knows, Tom? Who the bloody hell knows? So I went to Norway, Tom. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's wonderful. Did you like it?
I was there for 23 hours, so I couldn't really get a measure of the place other than that it was quite nice.
What did you see? Did you have some nice rye bread or something like that?
Do you know, I had a lovely cinnamon bun.
Oh, I bet you did.
A lovely cinnamon bun with a strong coffee.
Lovely. The only way to do it.
Yeah, very up your street, actually. Mm,
very much.
And it was really good. And they had, do you know what they'd done? And I really respect them for this. The cinnamon went the whole way through.
Oh,
they didn't just fanny about with
on the top.
Sprinkling some on the top.
No,
fuck that.
No sprinkling.
What they've done is pre-rolling of that cinnabun.
Oh, Susie, I wish I'd
they've
seen
gone
it.
All the way down. Let's not fuck around.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely divine.
Cinnamon deliciousness. Was it quite sweet?
Oh, yeah. But I like that.
Mm.
Mm. I like that. And it was gooey.
Oh, that's quite, a nice...
yeah.
Oh, Susie, I would have enjoyed that. Yeah, lovely.
Immensely. But here's the thing I want to tell you about Norway, Tom.
Yeah?
They've only got like 3 hours of night time.
Party all night. Oh,
that was... Party all night. P-A-R-T-Y.
Wow. You went at the best time as well.
We went to a gig. We had a gig, which was lovely.
Yeah, Susie and did a stadium gig, everybody.
I did a stadium. I mean, very lots of people, very nice.
Mm.
A little nerve-wracking, but honestly, just such a fun gig. It was great fun.
Brilliant.
But afterwards, we finished the gig, so it's like 10:30, walk out. It's daylight, Tom. It's absolute daylight. Well, it's 10:30 at night.
Was that confusing to you? Did you feel like you should pop down the local Aldi?
Well, of course, you know,
I feel
I'm
like that's
confused.
A Scandinavian. Yeah.
IKEA? That's more Scandinavian.
Pop down, did you feel like you should pop down IKEA and pick up some bits?
Get myself a Benji or something.
Get some Benji bookcase.
And then we went and played shuffleboard, which Dara O'Brien is very good at. You heard of her first.
Oh,
and quite competitive in a good way.
He can be quite competitive, I think, yeah.
Have you ever played shuffleboard?
No, is it like tap dancing?
It's very similar. I got my taps out. No one liked it.
Oh, it's a shuffle, Suze. Not a tap. A soft shoe shuffle.
I clinked my glass, so it was like I was about to make a speech. No one cared. So it's this Susie. Long sort of polished table. It's sort of like...
Yes.
It's sort of like curling, but you're using your hand to push it.
Oh.
So you have to get it into like an area on the board to win points. But the thing that you do is you cover the board in sand.
Oh my goodness.
So you pick up a handful of sand and sort of, and then you throw these sort of quite weighty metal sort of discs, but they're not quite discs, but they're also not circles.
Oh, okay. What shape are they?
A well, rhomboid. I'd say they were... Imagine if you've got a orange.
Okay, I'm imagining that. Yeah.
And you squeeze it down.
Oh, like a one of those speakers that people have, like a...
Like that, and also like those really nice peaches that you can get in the summer.
Yes,
you know those flat peaches.
Yes, you get them in Spanish supermarkets.
Oh, well, indeed, those with a weighty bum.
Wow,
it's a peach with a weighty bottom.
And that's what you're throwing.
And you're not throwing it, Tom. You're sliding it.
Oh, you slide it along. Does it fall off the table?
Yes, it does. And then you don't win any points. So you've really got to be careful with the wrist action.
Oh my goodness!
To know. It really took a few times for me to get an idea of how much oomph to give it. Because as you know, Tom, I don't know my own strength.
That's it. You are very strong, naturally sporty, one might say.
I'm a full-time lesbian.
And it's paying off.
Thank you, Tom, for saying that. Thank you for saying that. So I just wanted to share my shuffleboard experience with you.
Well, did you win or not?
No, I lost. Oh, no, actually, I did win. Me and Sean won, and Nathan... and Dara seemed quite cross about it, actually.
Good. Oh, that's good,
yeah,
isn't
thrilled.
It?
Thrilling.
Was it a late night sort of drinking Norwegian schnapps or something?
I was drinking Norwegian cider.
Wise. A bit sure. Lighter. You don't want to get involved sure. In those spirits. Yeah.
But then we left at gone midnight, and of course it's still light, Tom. It really fucks with you.
Oh, wow. That's like on Father's Day, we went for lunch.
Yes.
At a very nice place, it's a sort of place where Kent meets Essex. That's how I describe it.
Kessex?
Yes, if you like. And yes, very nice. But the thing about doing lunch is we had quite an early sitting, which I don't mind. Didn't mind that at all.
How early is early for you?
12:15. Quite a continental
lunch. That's
lunchtime.
Very early.
Mm-hmm. So got up, got on our way. And the lunch was also brunch as well. Breakfast, it was breakfast.
Okay, I'm more okay with that if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, it was the actual food was more lunch nature, but it was brunch to me.
Oh, what? So you were having like a roast?
A roast was available. It was actually it's a fish restaurant, so I had fish, but it was the food was excellent.
I think you're going to turn into a fish if you're not careful.
Well, it's very good for your brain, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but those scales and that tail.
They're really...
I am worried. You're about to go on holiday. You'll be swimming like a good one.
Oh, that'll be good for my swimming. Oh, I need to buy some jelly shoes. Anyway, the thing is, once you have lunch, then you're pissed in the middle of the day, and I find that quite disconcerting.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Wandering around. That's when I bought my tea strainer.
That seems like the kind of thing you do when you're pissed. Why were you at the Tower of London when you were having lunch between Kent and Essex?
It was near there. It was near there. Just along.
I don't understand the geography of this, but fine.
It was on the river.
Fun.
It was on the river.
Oh, I see. And then did you have a pissed wander up?
We had a pissed old wander up, and then we got on a boat at the Tower of London, which was a little bit stressful.
Oh, yeah, where'd you go?
We went down Greenwich, didn't we? We went down Greenwich.
Yeah, I do like that, actually.
Had a drink there, got an Uber back to mine, had some cheese. It was lovely.
Oh, nice. What sort of cheese, just to be across it?
It was actually the cheese that you had when you came round. I just needed to use it up.
Oh, yeah. I had a wedge of that. I think I actually picked up a wedge of that to have in the Uber home.
Oh, good for you.
Like the classy bird I am.
That is classy. Just a nice hunk of cheese.
To nibble at when you're in the South East London area.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
Well,
I mean, absolutely. But it was very nice. Suze, did you have a nice Father's Day?
Well, I mean, I was travelling to Norway.
Oh,
yeah. So basically I rang my dad and then I was really snappy with him and then I had to phone and apologise. So I really celebrated in the best way possible.
That's very interesting you say that because I get like that with mum and then I instantly regret it. But
yes, and feel really bad.
That's the nature, I think, of parents and children.
Do you think?
Absolutely,
yeah. I guess so. Well, I mean, as you well know, we're having a lot of stress with the house move. Everything is becoming very stressful. And so I rang Dad to talk to him about it. And in a very lovely, kind, sweet way, Dad did the what will be, if it's meant to be yours, you'll get it, which is really nice way of thinking about things. But also when you're very stressed, it's not that helpful.
So I do understand that. Yeah.
My response was, well, yeah, I mean, if we're not meant to have it, we're going to lose all this money and then we won't have anywhere to live. And then what are we going to do? And then we've got, and then like, what about work? And I've not got time. And which was horrible of me. And so then I flew to Norway feeling like I'd been a right cow on Father's Day, and then rang him and said sorry, and he said, I didn't really realise you'd snapped at me.
That's the sort of thing. Yeah,
so I don't know if he was really listening anyway.
Well, and I always say to my mum, like, oh, I'm sorry, I was a bit grumpy. She's like, oh, I'm used to it now. And then I'm like, but I'm taking her on holiday, so I hope she enjoys that.
So be grateful.
Be grateful. But I think that is the nature of parental conversations and part of the love as well. You know, that you can be honest with each other.
Do you think you ever get away from being like 15 in a way?
Well, I think it returns us to it. I think there's that sense of like, you don't understand. It's that sort of thing. But they do understand, but we just feel like they don't.
Yeah, and then sometimes I'm a bit of a martyr about how busy I am. And in the moment, I'm like, I am just really busy and I'm quite stressed. And then afterwards, I'm like, what a stupid little bitch.
No!
Like, I'm not a nurse.
You are busy.
You know, I'm just busy being... I'm so busy doing my showing off.
Oh, but it's hard work and lots of travel and you're allowed to be tired. Yeah. Everybody's allowed to be tired and grumpy. It doesn't matter what your job is.
Yes, I know, but... So that was my Father's Day, Tom.
Oh, well, that sounds okay, though. I think that's very, very human. Yeah, very human. And like I say, it's part of showing that you love someone is sometimes being a bit like you're allowed to show your honest self and not put on airs and sort of, or you kind of, we kind of love them so much that we're like, duh. But you're not, you're like with my mum and I'm like, duh.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know what I want, but I'm just like, I don't know. It's part of it. Don't worry, sis. Don't worry. You'd be super proud that you're going to Norway. So it's a win-win.
Sure. It's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
Tom, we haven't done any correspondence this week, but let's just do some extra correspondence next week.
All right, you're on.
We've got so much to catch up on.
We've got so much to catch up on. Pelagonium, stadium, gigs. So much.
Shuffleboard, of course.
Shuffle, soft shoe shuffle.
The soft shoe shuffle. But we'll be back next week, won't we, Tom? Your tour is on sale.
Yes, ma'am. It's on sale right now.
My tour will be on sale very soon.
Yeah, you better get your fingers ready, everybody.
And we'll be back next week, as per.
Oh, I'm sorry if I've been sniffing during this as well, Susan. My hay fever in the last week. I know that it's not a very fun thing to talk about.
No, mine's been absolutely dreadful.
Like sleepless nights. Tossing
and
everything.
She's having sleepless nights. Yeah. Don't talk about that on the podcast.
Please, it's a nice podcast.
Please, come on. This is family friendly. Let's keep it PG.
I know. I try and keep the windows shut as well to try and keep the pollen out. I tried showering before bed, like everybody says. Nothing worked.
Are you taking anything?
Heroin.
Oh, yeah, that helps.
No, I'm taking antihistamines.
You've got to go to your doctor and get the good stuff.
Oh, is the doctor
That's
got
what I'm
the,
tell you.
Is that right?
The docs have got some good stuff. They've given me some good stuff and now...
Oh, really?
I'm laying in the flowers.
Really?
I've got two bees up my nose. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying summer so much.
Oh, okay.
You've got to go and get the good shit.
I'll book an appointment. Might get one for, like, January.
Next year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, I'll do that. All right, well, thanks, Suze. Wonderful.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay.
All right, everybody.
I'll speak to you later then. We'll see you next week.
Okay, see you next week.
Bye.
Okay, bye for now. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.